Well, teachers play an extraordinarily important role in society. Many of them don't feel valued or supported enough. In his 25 years as an educator, Adam Voigt has transformed student lives and teacher practice by fostering school cultures that are strong, relational, and hallmarked by trust. He's the founder of Real Schools. He's written a practical guide as well to rebuilding community status and regard for teachers. He joins me now for a chat about it. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Jenny. Thanks for having me on the program.
Thanks for joining us. Now, your book is called Restoring Teaching. Tell us about this and your mission.
The mission's kind of two-pronged around this. First is to restore the status and the respect that we once had for educators. Now, I think that it used to be a vocation that young people really would be proud to say that I'm going to become a teacher and I really want to be a teacher, whereas these days it's something like, oh, you're going to be a teacher, really? And I think we can do something about that. And I actually think that that would be really fantastic for our country if our best and brightest really want to become educators and there's a fulfilling pathway for them to do that. And the second part of it is about using an approach called restorative practices to elevate teacher practice, to help us step into a new model of teaching that I think can really help us nationally to make some really great strides against other countries in the world that unfortunately at the moment are zooming past us. It also makes it easier for teachers to be able to sort of practice in alignment with why they got into teaching in the first place. So the book sort of walks those two lines. One's about restoring the status of teachers and two's about using restorative practices to do it.
And let's talk about those practices in a moment, but what are some things that have changed the community status of teachers over the years? It hasn't always been this way, has it?
No, it hasn't. I think that if I had to put a marker on it, I'd say it's probably around 30 years. But and I'm often asking teachers, you know, what do you think has changed in education the most in the last 30 years? And it's often, you know, they sort of say the usual things that we're sort of supposed to say, like, you know, it's technology or it's architecture or it's the role of the teacher. My contention is that the biggest thing that's changed is that 30 years ago, if you got into trouble at school, you got into trouble twice. And it wasn't about the trouble. It wasn't about the punishments that kids were getting. It was about the fact that the parents and the school were working together in partnership. Now, I don't think teachers deliberately threw that away. I don't think parents, you know, threw the trust away, you know, but I do think that's happened, you know, if I may, Jenny, sort of it's a little bit of a media-driven thing. I'm going to throw a rocket in your direction. But I think that because a lot of the negative instances of schools, and we'll see a story on a current affairs, you know, shows that says that, you know, a big issue down at a school, we've got an argument over, you know, uniforms and whether you're allowed to wear a satanic lip ring or something like that. Because the conflict gets highlighted, we've learned that we must actually, you know, get into conflict whenever there's a problem, whenever we disagree. And I think if we can get back to great teaching and learning, and if we can get back to parents and schools working together to build great citizens out of their kids, I think that's really all we wanted. I don't think the uniforms and the silly things that we've been conditioned to argue over are that important at all. I think we can get back to, you know, back to what, you know, what we, the reason we really send our kids to school and empower schools to do that work.
Naughty media. Now, now one of my friends is a teacher, and she reckons that these days parents want them to do everything. You know, this customer is always right kind of mentality, the Karens of the world now as well, demanding that teachers be the be all and end all of how their child flourishes.
Yeah, it's a funny thing, isn't it? That, and I guess the metaphor that I hear most from teachers when I ask them what it's like to be a teacher these days is they say it's like spinning plates. They feel like there's that many things that they are accountable for that they just can't give anything more than a few seconds. And that's not what we want for them. They're not jack of all trades. They're not people that you can throw any problem at. And we have to catch ourselves on this sometimes as members of the public. We're big on, you know, expressions like anytime we see a problem in the media, oh, well, education's the answer, so we'll cram it into schools. Schools should be for building great learners, and they should be for building really worthy citizens. And if it's things like, you know, for me, I'm often railing and saying things that can make myself a little bit unpopular sometimes, and I say, I don't think we should do swimming lessons in schools. Because any teacher that takes a swimming lesson knows that it can be a 45-minute swimming lesson that takes 2 days to fill out the OH&S report, get the permission forms back, arrange the transport, charge people, chase up the people who don't pay. And it's a huge amount of time for 45 minutes. When parents, you can take your kids down to the pool on the weekend and teach them to swim. You can find a way. And So I think we need to free our teachers to focus on their real purpose, and then I think we need to stop sort of, you know, saying that that's what they do. You know, you wouldn't take your car to the doctor to have that fixed. You say, no, they do people. So we've got to make sure that we allow them to do what they do really well.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about that concept and restorative practices and redesigning what teachers should be doing in our culture.
Yeah, so restorative practices, when we talk about restorative cultures, it's about saying, how do we build young people so they learn things like that is just so, you know, valuable, and also make them employable, like being empathic and being responsible. And what we don't do is treat our schools like judicial systems for that. So when we treat them like judicial systems, we say sort of do the crime, do the time. If I catch you doing this, this is how many detentions you're going to get. And what happens when kids are punished like that, just as a matter of routine or as a matter of the way they've structured their school, is they think too many negative things. This is important because our thinking drives our behaviour. There's this example I often use on this, Jenny, is that none of us woke up this morning accidentally on a diet. Mm. You know, if you're going to change what you're going to think about it first. And while you're in detention, you're generally sitting there plotting revenge against the person who got you there, or demonising the teacher. And so it doesn't work. They think the wrong things, and therefore we have big problems with recidivism, with kids who end up in detention and then end up in detention and then end up in detention. So what we want to do is break that cycle. And the best way to do it is to generate better thought. So we encourage our kids through questions when we're working restoratively. To the question that I ask more than any question in schools is, what was that all about? And when they make a mistake, what was that all about? Well, this was going on, this was right. How do you think that's impacted people? You know, and so it's not about getting into trouble, but it's about saying, well, I've upset this person and this person. You know, what are you going to do about it? Because that's responsibility. Is, you know, if you're learning to be responsible, is about getting to be responsible and being practiced at being responsible. You didn't fix anything by sitting through three lunchtime detentions. Mm. So go fix it. Go do the work.
And kids can
get really good at that. And eventually, when they do get good at it, they start to self-regulate their own behaviour, and we have less problems to deal with.
Oh, that's a really good point. You're doing a number of things to try to change the narrative. You have an academy for teachers called Real Schools. You've written this book called Restoring Teaching. What else is your... Do you have a call to action? Is there anything else we can do to help you change and transform teaching in Australia?
Oh, we're really excited about the opportunities that we have in our work. We have, yeah, like as you mentioned, as part of Real Schools, we have, we won't partner anybody with a school who hasn't been a school principal themselves. So they've got to have actually known what it's like to sit in the big chair and to help a whole school community change. We work with schools for 3 years through our school culture partnerships to support them to do that and to implement it deeply so that it's kind of legacy work for school leaders. We have a Real Schools Academy that helps new-to-profession teachers to get off on the right foot. We have teacher wellbeing partnerships to help teachers, you know, sort of look after their own capacity, which this year has been really important. So we've got a multitude of different ways that we can help every single school to be able to focus back on what's really dear to them.
Oh, great. How can we find out a bit more about that, Adam?
If they head to realschools.com.au, they'll be able to see all of the links to all of the different ways in which we can give them a hand. And we're mindful that some schools are up for the 3-year commitment and the time to go, and we're ready to help all those schools. But we're also mindful that some schools are looking for some resource and just a little bit of help, and there's something there for everybody.
Well, if I had a nice shiny red apple, I would hand it to you right now, Adam Voigt. Thanks so much for your time today.
I appreciate it, Jenny. Thanks for having me.